Attention contractors, on May 6th, you're invited to a free web class all about hiring. Look, there's no denying we're in a skilled labor shortage, and it feels impossible these days to hire good people. But I've conducted over 2,400 interviews for trades positions, and I'm telling you, this can be done. You're just kind of doing it wrong. So, if you want the best performing job ad templates contractors are using in 2025, some simple interview tactics that are going to double your show up rates, and some tips to become the only place in town that A players want to work, this web class is for you. May 6th, let's make it happen, and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. My name is Danny Kerr, and I'll be hosting today's bonus episode where we'll be diving into one of my favorite subjects, hiring. I hosted a web class last month where we taught hundreds of contractors my systems for attracting A players while replacing these time wasters that end up in your recruitment process. We decided to release it on the podcast so more contractors can benefit. I cover why creating a hiring funnel is just as important as creating a sales funnel, and how to write job ads that actually work to attract people that you want, and winning interview strategies I refined while interviewing over 2,400 people for trades positions. Before we dive in, make sure you download the resource bundle using the link in the description. That's going to give you the templates and guides to help you implement the tactics that we discuss in this actual web class. Now, let's get started. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. All right, so we have got a jam-packed hour, and it's good timing, I would assume. How many of you right now are kind of in this state of like, it is time to hire our seasonal labor? It's time to build our teams up. The season's approaching. Maybe it's already kicking off, right? It's time. So it's a very timely webinar. We know this. We work with a lot of our members. This is like, and not for everyone. Not everyone's as seasonal as others, depending if you're in some of the southern states, but it is certainly for a lot of us time to gear up. So for the next hour, my plan is to give you some pretty robust tools, templates, processes, ideas, strategies to be able to make sure that your hiring season goes off really, really well. So let's get into a few things here. General purpose of today, I was like, why is recruiting so important? And it is for a lot of reasons. But you know, also I realized like it is literally the biggest asset in your business. How many of you feel this? Like your entire business, although you might be a landscaping company, you're kind of in the business of like training and developing people, right? Is that not kind of what dictates your success as a brand, how you stand out against your competitors, how much profit you even make as a company, how much enjoyment you have? Like your team is your business, right? And then very much like on the practical, like financial standpoint, how many of you would look at your line items of all the money you spend every year and people is the number one thing you spend money on? For a lot of us, this is very, very true, right? So my purpose is like, let's optimize this because the recruiting piece of this is kind of the entire thing that feeds everything that is your business, right? So that's why we're doing this. General outcomes, what can you expect from today? We're going to learn some of the fundamentals of building a world-class hiring system, and I'll get into kind of where some of this is coming from. And we're also going to give you lots of tools and downloadable resources. So look out at the end of the webinar. We're going to have a link in the chat. We'll also have a link probably pop up on the screen, but everything we talk about is great for an hour. It'll inspire you to do some stuff, but it's 10 times more impactful when you can sit down in your office with these downloads and actually like build this stuff leaving this webinar. So whether you have time right after the webinar or sometime in the next week and a half, schedule out a few hours to pick some of the resources we give you and work on them. So that is the plan today. General agenda, let's start by just unpacking this talent shortage that we're feeling, and it's been around for 10 years plus, right? Let's talk a bit about that. Then we'll get into some of these fundamentals around building an ideal candidate profile so we can steer and reverse engineer your entire recruiting process from how to build effective job postings so we can get more of the right people applying, how to build really good interview setup calls. This is a bit of a sleeper. Like I think a lot of us don't, I actually think this is probably one of the most high impact things you could change in your organization if you don't have this dialed yet. And then we'll finish off with some behavioral interviewing processes, which is this general concept that like you can't change people's behaviors or people's like personality patterns, but you certainly can train in skill. So how do you look more into the people side or the personality profiling side? So we'll get into that. I'll finish off with how to implement this and what this requires and some really good tools that you can use in companies and resources to make this all happen. So that is the plan. So some of you may know me, some of you may not. My name is Danny Kerr. I am the co-founder of something called Breakthrough Academy. So we've been around for about 10 years, just under 10 years now. And this started because me and two other colleagues spent about 10 years working in the franchise world in the contracting space. It was a company, maybe you've heard of them, they're called College Pro Painters, but from 18 years old to about just under 28, I was in what I would call like learning the business of contracting. And I got to learn inside and out what works, not only because I did it myself, I was a franchisee myself, operating day in and day out. I was also a GM, a general manager. So I got the chance to actually recruit and hire and onboard my own franchisees. So that was a really neat experience because I got to see every year, about 20 I was in charge of, how the things we implement, these tactics even we're going to talk about today, play out in different businesses. And then to end it all off, I ended up being the head of recruitment for head of recruitment for Western Canada, where I would recruit about 100, or be a part of the recruitment anyways, of about 100 franchisees every year, and about 1,000 technicians or painters or middle management people. So it was a lot. That number 2,400, actually, I never counted until this webinar. Our marketing team had asked me, like, how many interviews have I actually done? And I sat down and was like, each year, kind of like, just rough guesstimate, but I was like, holy cow, I've done 2,400 interviews in my life. Good Lord. Anyways, all that to say that a lot of what we're going to go through is going to come from some of this background and experience that I've had, coupled with something that we call the contractor growth method, which is essentially what we teach all of the members at Breakthrough Accounting. This is like the machine that we install into every organization we work with. And I'll get into it a little later today, but hiring is kind of at the middle of the whole thing. It holds all these bits together. And the idea is that we build something where each piece is connected to the next, and hiring is no different, right? And the idea is that we can have the owner kind of turn like one crank, one mainline system that spins off into running the organization and ultimately pulls the owner kind of out of the day-to-day. So we've been working on this for 10 years. We've been refining this, the recruitment side of it. We've been refining a ton. So this is coming from my experience, but this is also coming from working with, it's about 2,400, don't quote me on this, over 2,000, I think, contracting companies at this point, installing these systems and seeing what works and what doesn't and what's practical and what like gets quick wins. And so I'm trying to put all this together between my head and 10 years of doing this and give you guys something good in an hour. So that is the plan today. Put a lot of work into it. Hope you like it. Like I said earlier, we're going to give you templates and resources. So they come as what's something called contractor quick tools. These are basically like instruction manuals for each process. They'll step you through step-by-step how to build these things. They'll give you example files and a template to build off of, which is a really nice way to learn and also be able to build something from scratch. So we'll give you something on ideal candidate profiling and how to build job postings. We're going to give you some stuff on how to do interview setup calls properly and how to build a proper script for this. And then a really robust interview guide that actually helps you build a full-on interview process along with each individual question that's required by role. So it's a lot. And this will all come at the very end. So just make sure you look out for this. Well, like I said, will be a link, I think, will be in the chat, and there'll be a little pop-up bubble that'll come near the end of the webinar. Now, I've said this 7 times, so I'll say it one more time. There's a lot coming. Focus on one thing. There is, you know, a lot of you in this webinar right now, I'm sure all of you have different needs and different things that you hope to get out of this. Focus on one thing. I'm going to cover every element of the hiring funnel or the hiring process for you. Pick one part of it that you think will make the biggest impact for you and make that the one key thing that you implement. Because I've seen this before where you try and do a little bit of everything and nothing really gets done. Now, there's going to be some of you that have a lot of this done and you just need some tweaks, which is great. Pick the one thing that'll help tweak it the best. And there'll be some of you that have none of this done. And it's just like one or two little things you should change right now. And that's totally okay. Okay. So don't try and like take it all in and do it all tomorrow, because it probably won't go the way you're thinking. Now, we've got you guys in the chat, which is good. I would love if everyone could answer me this question. What part of hiring frustrates you the most? And I ask this for two reasons. One, to just have some fun in the chat, engage, whatever. But this is also a very real thing for me, because like the more feedback I get on this, the more I can kind of focus on some of the stuff we're going to talk about. So I've got lots to cover, but if I'm seeing like right now, I'm seeing no shows coming up, which seems to be, look at that. Woo, no shows. Yeah. So this is awesome, right? So we have a representative sample like that of what the issues are. Blowing smoke, unqualified applicants, too expensive. What is also too much money. Holy cow. They lie. Yeah. We'll talk a bit about that. How to get over that. So no shows again, lack of quality. There's a lot on no shows. Okay. There is going to be a piece we're going to get into on the interview setup call. I'll take some time. I'll maybe even role play with you, like how I set up an interview really well to mitigate no shows. Cause I get it. I've been through this. Sweet. Okay. That helps a ton. Keep typing in there. Don't stop. Keep going. Our team's paying attention. They're going to use this for all kinds of stuff to help us build these sessions in the future as well. So all of this is helpful. No bad answer here. Keep it rolling. So let's do this. Let's start by just unpacking the hiring crisis. Like, what is actually going on? Why is it after 10 years or plus 10 years, this thing is just not getting any better, right? And what I will start with is this, it's not just you. Like, there is a very real statistical thing going on in the industry right now. So I don't know if you know this, but there's about 11% of our workforce that's under 25. It's not a high number. It's kind of a shockingly low number. And what you pit that against is this workforce that's leaving. So about 41% of our workforce is planning to retire by 2031. And I'll let you do the math on this, but like, this is fundamentally at the root of what's going on, right? We call it like the silver tsunami. We got an issue and it's not getting better. And yes, like, tariffs can come in and the economy can change and all this, but this, like, that's not going to impact this, right? This is completely separate from that. And just some like interesting results. Like, in 2024, we were at a net deficit for required people in the labor force or for in the workforce by about 500,000, right? So I've always looked at this and I'm like, we all panic about when the next recession is coming. And we all are like, when is it going to come? Is it coming? Like, I know I'm watching the news this morning. Like, I get it. There's a lot going on. But newsflash, like, the last 10 years, we have been in what we call a recession of people, right? By definition, there is less people coming into the workforce than the required work that they are demand or that the demand is asking for. So this is an issue, and this isn't going to get better. And this doesn't mean it's all over, but what it means is, like, us as contractors, we have to take this seriously. We have to be better, because this is only going to get worse with time. And if we just ignore it and say, like, maybe when the economy slows down, it'll get easier. Like, I get it. There's some things that'll happen there. It's not going to change the stats we're talking about, right? Now, with all that said, it is also us, right? We have a few habits that I've kind of noticed over 10 years of working with all of you that aren't going away, right? So the first one, it says you're prioritizing marketing over hiring. Listen, I and my team, we do business assessments for members prior to bringing them into Breakthrough Academy. So we get to actually see their budgets. We get to see what's good, what's bad, what's going on. And I hear this so much. There's this statement that a lot of you say, which is, man, we could do whatever we want. We could grow however big we want if only we could find good people to work for us. Have you ever said that before? Have you ever thought about that? Give me a yes or no on that. How many of you feel that? It's like, if only I had not just people, but good people to work for me, then I could finally get where I want to be, right? And I'm like, totally, I get it. But then I go into their budgets. I'm like, so true statement, you are spending $100,000 a year this year on Google AdWords to get more work and $5,000 this year on recruiting ads. And they're like, right. And I'm like, look, there's so many things we could work on together, but like, this is just an indicator of like the time, money, effort, and energy that's going into what part of the business you need. And I get it. We, you know, since 2008, we've had this priority of like, get more revenue, get more work. It's what's going to be the lifeblood of the company. And that's not entirely wrong. It's just, it's overshadowed too much the hidden issue, which is like, we need good people and we need to put more time, money, effort, energy, skill development into that side of the business, because that's where the market has shifted. And it's been like that for a long enough time now. I hope it's time for us to actually make some real shifts, right? Olivia says, Indeed is so expensive and generally has poor results. Well, Olivia, we're going to give you some other options here. So that's good. Other one, no investment in hiring skills. So you know what? We're here for an hour. You guys have taken a really good first step, but I'm telling you, like, the skill of hiring, like learning, like the psychology of people and high level interviewing and understanding how to build proper process around this, It is more than just like a 1 hour webinar. Like, there's a lot to dive into here. You'll see it today. And I encourage all of you, like, go and professionalize either yourself or someone in your company to really dial this in. Poor employer brand. We'll get into this a little later, but I think generally, like, we're not the coolest, most sexiest business out there, right? And in this generation, we fight against a lot of other really cool appearing options anyways. And we don't do the best job, like, representing what we bring to the table, which I think, especially for landscaping, like, it's a pretty sick job. Right. And I think we kind of know that, but I don't think we do a good job showing that to the people that are applying or out the workforce that we could potentially sway to work for us. And then what all this causes is this like general mentality of being problem focused versus solution focused. And I'll tell you this, like, this is true in everything in business, but like, you can be of the mentality where it's like, it can't be done. Or you could even be bullshitting yourself and just have taken a positive mindset course for like, it can be done, even though I have no idea how. Neither of those are really going to fix the issue. Being solution focused is this like humble, but like driven mentality of like, how can we, if we had to, which we do, how can we do it? And slowly be focused on the solution and be in the process of figuring it out versus constantly complaining and bitching and moaning about all the issues in the industry and it just can't be done. Or maybe trying to be positive about it, but having no idea what's going on and be like, I can do this, but I don't know what to do. Forget all that. Just like, how can we? And let's be in the process of figuring this out, which is what we're going to do today. Now, one more thing to just really like bring optics or numbers to some of this, there is a massive lost opportunity cost in not having dialed recruitment processes. So we polled a lot of our members and started to look at like in landscaping specifically, like what is the average hourly rate that a person produces when they're out in the field? Now, what this means is this is including material spend and installs and all that kind of stuff. But on average, for every hour that one of your technicians is working out in the field, you're producing about $95 worth of like revenue, if that kind of makes sense, right? So let's take that and times it by 35 hours a week. And everyone's like, why not 40? And like, cause there's rain days and people are late and, you know, sick days. And just trust me, it's the average is about 35. Let's times it by 35 hours a week for one person working. This comes down to about $3,325 in revenue that does not get produced in 1 week of not having a simple labor role or simple technician role in your company. Give me in the chat, how many of you last year, even like currently, are short at least one person for 1 week of the season, let alone more, right? Think about that for a second. How many of you are like, yeah, we definitely were short about three people for about 2 months there, right? Like many more, right? So like, that's about $13,300 per month for one person not being in the role they should be in. And this is about $43,000 in revenue for one basic labor role in your company not being present per quarter. It's massive, right? And so when we talk about, oh, I really need to spend $5,000 hiring this person, maybe you do. Because in 1 week of not having them, you're already eating up more than half of that loss, right? So some food for thought. And this, I put this up because I'm about to ask you to do a lot of things. And I want you to buy into this because the opportunity cost of not having these people in their roles in a timely manner is costing us much more than I think we see. It's hidden, but it's there. All right. So the only thing left to ask is like, what are we going to do about it? Right. What are the how can we's that we can process over time to build something better? Right. So let's get into this. The first thing I want to present to you is this concept that attracting top talent is no different than attracting good customers. Okay, so good news, if a lot of you spent a lot of time trying to dial in your marketing and sales processes, a lot of the learning from that can be derived and put into the recruiting and hiring process. You're still attracting good people just on the different side of the equation, right? So you might have really good marketing, an ideal client that you've profiled that helps you build your ads, which helps you generate leads and do setup calls to screen who's a fit so you can do good estimates and book good work and then onboard your customers, right? Like we've probably all worked on that process or dialing that in a little bit more to make sure we have good, you know, revenue coming in. It's the same concept for recruiting, right? We need to build an ideal candidate profile to reverse engineer how we build our ads and what apps we actually like sort through and actually pick. How we set up our interviews, the questions we even ask in our interviews that lead to the right selection on the right person and then onboard good people. It's the same exact process, right? We're just flipping it a little bit. So give me this in the chat, how many of you have invested either a lot of time or money or just skill development in marketing and sales? How many of you have put some time into this to be like, we need to dial this in better? So Doug has, Wes has, Matthew has, John, cool. Well, guys, like good news, like we're going to kind of just take the same concept and give it to you in a recruiting lens because it's the same general stuff. A few different tools, a few different like optics on how this works, but same lens at which you can look this through. So in recruiting, just like in marketing and sales, we are building a bit of a funnel, right? Funnel might sound a little bit like a weird word to use, but it's kind of what's going on, right? And the first step to this whole funnel, if you see here, it says ideal candidate profile. And this is the first step we're going to get into today. But this is what fundamentally helps you reverse engineer every other part of your funnel. It all is going to be built with the end in mind, and the ideal candidate profile will be the thing that like makes its way into every single element here. Now, before I even get into this, I would love to know how many of you take the time, and I want lots of no's. It's totally okay to say no. It's awesome if you say yes. How many of you take the time to build an ideal candidate profile prior to starting your recruitment campaigns? And the reason I ask this is we have been doing this for 10 years, and I have been saying this as loud as I possibly can for 10 years. And I think actually it's starting to stick. I think we're starting to get people doing this. But it's not foolproof, right? Not, there's still some no's in the chat. So that helps me. I'm like, okay, we still got to talk about it. So let's get into it. So this first step is very like, I'll break it down to its basic parts, right? It's this first piece, which is like identifying what you're actually looking for in that role. So it's not dumping and being like, what, 600 things to do. Oh, just give all these things to this person. It's like, no, there should be a defined role that's very specific for what part of the business you need to fill. And then you want to think through what's the perfect like strengths and weaknesses, actually, funny enough, core values and maybe skill sets of the type of person that could fulfill well on this role, right? Strengths, I think, are pretty obvious. I don't think everyone always thinks of weaknesses, but think about it. Like some of your best, you know, administrative people would be terrible salespeople, right? Some of your best like field technicians would be, you know, not so good in the office, right? So people who are really good at certain things are also really bad at other things, and that's okay. And you should make sure the role revolves around that, right? You build a role that puts people in a place to be successful. And I will say on this step, like a lot of you do this part because you're trying to think like, what do I need, right? Where I think a lot of us miss is thinking through what our candidates looking for, right? What are their needs? What roles excite them? What kind of work are they proud of? What kind of progress do they want to make towards their own personal goals? What might they even be fearful of when it comes to selecting the right job? Like some of the best candidates I've ever hired, I'm sure you've seen this too. They're interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing them because they know they have options. And they have fears of like working for bad companies in the past, and they want to make sure they've got the right fit, right? So when you're building your ideal candidate profile, it's very basic level. It's like, what are you looking for? But also, what are they looking for? If that kind of makes sense. Okay, so we've got a tool on this. I'm going to show it to you in a second. This is going to be in the download package for all of you. And it's going to help give you the step-by-step process to build this out. Let me just show it to you quick here. But essentially, it's helping us understand, this is for a salesperson for a landscaping role, but it's like, what is this person's mission going to be? What are the company's core values? What is this person's deliverables and like action, like tasks they're actually going to do in their job? This is interesting. This will help influence our hiring. What natural preferences or abilities does this person have to have built into them? What skill sets or experience should they have? This gets into the needs a little bit. Actually interviewing past people on your team or current people on your team to understand what they enjoy about their role, right? And then actually like what mediums are these people hanging out in? So we're putting our copy in front of them in the right places. I'll give you a cool story on this. Like when I followed this process years ago and still to this day, I will often like take someone out for lunch. So let's say I'm taking, you know, Ralph Smith out for lunch and I'm going to ask him lots of questions, but I'll tell you one that really opened my eyes, the amount of like shift it had on the entire process, which was, I sat down, let's call him Ralph for now. And I was like, man, like, what do you love about your job? What do you hate about your job? What gets you up in the morning? Why do you stick around with me? Why did you start with me? Like, give me your internal motivation because I want to understand it better. So we had a good lunch for about an hour and he started to go through things. Like, he's like, I love that you're my coach kind of more than you're my boss. I love that you give me kind of freedom and autonomy to drive my own cruise in my own way and think my own strategy each week and how I want to plan everything out and go execute on it. And I love that I get bonuses for hitting the goals that I hit. And he kind of finishes it off with me. He's like, I used to be the quarterback of a football team in high school, and I get to take that same mentality and I just apply it to working with you and your crews. And it's fun. And it's like what I grew up doing. And that's, although I'm like doing, like for me, it was painting. It's like, although I'm like painting houses every day with the crews, it just feels more like the sports I used to play. And it kind of shifted everything. And I'll give you a really example. The first thing it shifted was my ads, right? My ads at the time said, need project manager, drive company truck, competitive salary, but you know, whatever. And I erased the whole thing. And I was just like, need a quarterback to drive our crews day in, day out. Wish you had more of a, or sick of a boss, wish you had more of a coach. love freedom and autonomy and how you operate day in and day out. Wish you could score touchdowns every day, but actually get paid for the goals you hit. Boy, do we have a job for you, right? And I spoke to my ideal candidate. And I'm telling you, the fundamental like shift every week from there was massive. Now, I still got all the random Tom, Dick, and Harry's applying. Never read my ad. It's going to happen. But I like once to twice a week got these like athletes applying to me. Some of them had painting experience actually too, which was kind of neat. And they're like, Danny, and they would write me things like in the email. They're like, Danny, like I read your ad and like spoke deeply to me and like who I am. We need to chat, right? So if you're trying to compete on ads and just every 3 hours trying to repost so you stay at the top of the thread and you're just trying to play the volume game, I'm telling you, you're gonna lose. It's quality over quantity here. And you need to take time to understand what your people are truly looking for and what matters most to them and hit them where it matters, right? And the only way you're going to really pull that out, I think, is to speak to those who are doing exactly that, that are A players on your team or maybe on another team that you know, that you can actually get that language from. Don't assume, right? Okay, so let's get back to job postings and application generation. What am I saying? To sum it up, focus on the candidate, not just the job, right? Sell the job rather than just describing it, right? Make it real, make it emotional, make it what they're looking for. This is all in the service of attracting the ideal candidate. I don't need more applications. I need one or two or five of the right people, right? It only takes one. It doesn't take 400. I can play the numbers game. I get it. I've done it. I'll tell you, there was a time in my career where I had 100 resumes a day coming into my inbox. And if anything, if I was too broad, it was causing a slowdown on the front end because I couldn't filter through everybody properly. And I was missing good people because my ads were too broad, right? And then at the bottom, there's a bit of the processes, but like focus on a very clear call to action. So I'll just show this to you quick because we kind of like went into it a little bit. But like this is an example, you'll get one of these, of what this can look like, where you're like speaking and asking questions to your ideal candidate right out of the gates. You're speaking about the company, but in light of what matters to your ideal candidate. You're talking about the role, but again, in light of what matters to your ideal candidate. And you're talking about the like actual like things that they're going to be doing, but in light of the actual like needs of your candidate, right? So you're focusing in on this probably similar stuff you post, but not your own assumptions or things you think are great. It's what matters to them. If that makes sense. All right. Some other things you can do, right? Posting on job ads is great. But your brand matters. And I think a lot of us sleep on this. I think if we do brand development, it's all about what our customer wants. It's all about what our ideal customer is looking for and what they want to feel and how our brand interacts with them emotionally and all this stuff, right? All this marketing stuff. But what do your ideal candidates want? And does your brand angle towards that as well, right? So things from, you know, how your join the team page looks like on your website or having a join the team page on your website to how your social media shows, right? And this isn't crazy complicated stuff. This is probably hiring a videographer to make a really good video for you, maybe a photographer if you'd like, or even just using your iPhone and capturing your people doing what they do best, right? Highlighting what they love about their work here and making your people feel heard and focusing a little bit more on your people and your jobs, but not just your jobs. Whereas I think when it's all about customers, we're busy showing the work that we do and the jobs that we've created and, or sorry, the jobs that we've built out or the projects we've done. It's like, what about your people? What about their stories? And I think your customer will also appreciate that because they're hiring your people and they get to know them ahead of time. What a cool way to just be transparent and authentic, right? So anyways, I've got, I'll show this really quick, but I've got these exact examples here. This is Renova Exteriors. If you want to check out their website, renovaexteriors.com. They've got, you know, /employment. You should be able to find them on the join the team section, but they've got a phenomenal video that just speaks to the ideal candidate. Everything that's built in this video, all the copy, everything is basically there to say like, we get you and we want to work with you. From there, we've got his social media page. This is kind of exactly what I was just showing you, but they've still got stuff about their work and their jobs and what their company's up to, but lots of stuff about their people, right? So don't miss on this. It's not as complicated as you think. And it's just a slight shift in who you're focused, who your target is. It's your ideal customer, but it's also your ideal candidate, if that kind of makes sense. Okay. Now, we've got these ads. We've figured out this copy. We're starting to post online. How do we source resumes? Now, there's so many things, and I've had a big session on this before where we can talk through all the tactical strategies. I've had a bit of a shift in the last year on just looking at like who's really good at this in the industry that is just going to trump any effort that we put in as individual contractors. And that's not to say you shouldn't go do all those things. I still think you should. We've got two vendors that we work with now at Breakthrough Academy called Contractor Staffing Source and Hirebus. These guys are like changing the game. How do I say this? Going back to that like missed opportunity of having somebody not in their role for 1 week is a very dangerous thing to do, and just to rely it all on you and your new learning of how to generate outflow. I highly recommend you check these guys out. And actually, Aaron, if you want to throw them in the chat, their URLs, I think that would be amazing. So Contractor Staffing Source, they're basically what you think they are. They're kind of like a fractional recruiting agency for you. They're going to help take a lot of the load off of actually like getting good qualified applicants. And they focus on the contracting space, and man, they get it. Our team spent a year going through all the fluffy recruiters out there and find ones that actually deliver on their promises, focus on this industry, and do a really, really good job. So this referral is coming after like a year of research. And trust me, Contractor Staffing Source will hit the nail on the head. And then Hirebus is an interesting one. They're an app and an AI kind of streamlined process that it's essentially a platform that will score and actually schedule the top 1% of candidates directly into your calendar. It's like the dream state. Now, nobody's perfect, obviously, but when I look at these two and what they've done for our members so far, and I look at the amount of work that our team put into identifying who they are and who's the right fit, these are strong referrals. And they can save a lot of the headache of just like, I can't get good qualified people to apply. Time to spend some money, and this is the right place to put it. So check these guys out. One tactic I will give you that as applicants are coming in, whether from your own generated sources or you've hired a recruiter to help you, is to make sure you're nurturing your flow, right? So we do this in sales and marketing. We have leads that come in and maybe they don't book right away. And the best of us probably have a nurture campaign that slowly drips content to them, and we'll call them up and do follow-up over time. Well, no different is that in recruiting. Right. So what this kind of looks like is we're getting all these apps coming in. If you have an ATS system, an applicant tracking system, this is probably you're used to this, but you'll have a score. You'll be giving all these applicants, you'll be writing notes on them. Some of them you'll get a hold of them, some of them you won't, but there'll be people that essentially you'll be rating. And I used to do ratings out of 10. So I would say, okay, if I'm rating you a 7, 8, 9 or a 10, you're worth it. And maybe you didn't come on because we filled the role. Maybe you got another job. Maybe you never even called me back. But I'm not going to give up on you. And that what that means is I'm going to hold and store your resume for the rest of my company's life. And about once a year, maybe twice a year, I'm going to send you like probably one. If I'm really good at this, once a month, I'll send little like updates on our company and what we're up to. But once a year, maybe twice a year, I'll actually be sending you a very intentional message. So let's say the guy's name's John, and I've got 42 Johns all listed between, 7, 8, and 9 ratings from like past outflow from the last 2 years. I'm like, hey, John. Our company XYZ is currently looking for a person in XYZ role. I know it didn't work out last time we had chatted, but I was curious if you knew anybody who would be a good fit. We're currently offering a $1,000 hiring bonus. Be happy to share that with you if you did know anybody. Now, and here's the link to the ad, whatever. Now, what am I doing? I'm re-engaging them, which should they be interested because life has changed for them, I might have somebody that I really liked in the past come back into my flow. And if they're busy, which maybe they told me they were, or I never got a hold of them. I don't want to be too pushy. I'm just saying, do you know anyone? There's $1,000 if you do. And one thing I know is like minds know like minds, right? And you're building what I call your bench. So all that time and money you're spending on generating app flow doesn't come in the door and get thrown away and burned at the end of the recruiting stint. It's reused over time and recycled. And not only are you re-engaging your app flow, but you're also getting some of their referrals coming in. And the bigger this gets over the years, the more of a bench you have. So it's basically self-fulfill, which is massively powerful. Does anyone do this? Give me a quick yes or no. Does anybody do this currently? You have basically apps coming in, you're scoring them, you're holding them. You have some like nurture cadence potentially where you're letting them know updates on the business. And then you also have these kind of like call to actions once or twice a year when you're really hitting hiring hard to see if they know anyone and offering some money behind it. Good. Julia will start. Okay. Ashley, so a lot of no's. So Nicholas, good. You got this. Susan, sweet. So this is a little like hack that if you haven't started now, now's a good time to start. There's no time like the present. And it should help replenish the stocks throughout every year that you do this because you're going to be adding to the flow. Okay. Now, What's next? We've got some resumes finally coming in. We're scoring them. We're talking to some people maybe on the phone. And we want to set them up for interviews. Now, I'm going to put a bit more time into this because you guys just told me that the number one challenge is having people no-show you in interviews. Is that true? Give me a yes or no if that's like the thing. It's like we just can't get good people to show up for an interview. If that's the problem, give me a yes. Give me a quick yes or no. Because I have certainly felt this as well, right? And the best way I can describe this is I set up a full day stacked full of interviews. I'm stoked. I'm like, we're going to find our people. We got this. And then one or two people show up. One of them is probably high on meth and the other guy's like, okay. And I kind of just go with it because I don't have any other options. I mean, how many of you have felt this before? It's just like that day that was supposed to be so good just ends up being the biggest day of waste when I've got so many more important things to go do. And these SOBs no show me. And then the one guy that shows up is like not even present for the meeting. And the other guy's like, okay. And so I just capitulate and I give in, right? So I worked on this a lot. And what I discovered was the number one issue was my setup calls, was my first interaction that I had with them on the phone. Because if I'm talking to them on the phone and I'm rushed, and I'm doing four other things, and it's just a real quick, hey, John, okay, yeah, we're interested in you. Can you meet? I'm at the office 4 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, I'll see you there. Bye. These guys don't show up, right? And if even if they're really good, they won't show up because that's their first impression of that of the whole process of working with you in the company. So here's a very basic, but I would say effective way to structure your setup calls. And again, we're going to give you a template on this as well. But first step is like, first step is you just like, don't be busy with six other things at the same time. Make sure you have space for this in your day. And when you do these calls, this is kind of the process. So it's like a quick intro and check-in just to help them feel comfortable. So you can have like more of a real chat with them. Checking in on current situation. I always wonder, I'm like, what had them like apply today or yesterday? What? Why now? Why not last week? Why not last month? Why not last year? Like, what are the circumstances or events in their life that led them to my ad that spoke to them in a way that had them actually click to apply? I want to know that. It tells me a lot about the person and a bit about their history and a bit about kind of where they're at with things, right? I then want to get into their needs. So we talked a lot about needs earlier. Like, what are you looking for? What type of job do you want? What's important to you? Why are you leaving your current job? Like, understanding their needs, just like you would a customer when you're selling a job, is massive so that everything else you talk about can be done in light of their specific needs. So if you see step five, helicopter tour, that's what we call, imagine like a helicopter where you're like rolling over the company and rolling over the job and you're showing them this is what it kind of looks like, right? Verbally what you're talking about. But I'm only focused on the elements that matter to them. Not doing verbal diarrhea of like all the things that matter to me in the business and ram, 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 blam, brag, 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 brag. It's like, no, what matters to you? Cool. Let me tell you a bit about the, you know, what we do here at Transformation Landscape. Let me tell you about the role that we've devised here and what it's all about. But it's all in light of what matters to them, if that kind of makes sense. I'll then go into past work experience. So great. So where have you worked in the past? What have you done? What did you learn from that work? You know, what's brought you to the path throughout today? So just going a little deeper on the past roles and jobs that they've done. Again, for me to make sure like I've got someone worth sitting down with. And then here's an interesting one. Number seven, deal breakers. Have any of you ever hired somebody and like, you know, whatever, a month in, you realize they're allergic to grass pollen or like they have no way to get to work? Like, give me a yes or no on this, but how many of you have like, you just missed like a super obvious, simple thing that like, they're actually a really good person, but you just never thought to ask. I'll tell you a funny one. So I'm in the painting world. I heard a guy who was colorblind and I never knew until he went and painted a red house, which is, this is paint stuff, but like it's low hide. So like he's painting it and it just doesn't cover at all. And he's like, it looks great. And I'm like, what is going on? And he's just like, oh, I forgot to tell you I'm colorblind. I was like, oh, I should have known that. Anyway, deal breakers. They're simple things that have caught you off guard in the past. That they're good to have usually in checklist form on your form. So you're just making sure you're checking off. Do you have a way to get to the job site? Are you allergic to grass pollen? Whatever the things are that have tripped you up in the past. And that list can grow over time as you learn, but you get them out of the way right in the setup call. So you're not setting up people that are incapable of doing the work, if that makes sense. Pesticide license. There you go. It's a good example. So there's that. And then you're tight for time, but I'm going to do this quick. To make sure people show up, this is the process that matters. And what I will say kind of like kicks it off at the very end is what I call interview setup and expectations. And actually what I'll do is I'll role play this for you if you guys are struggling a bit with this. just to show you the thoroughness of this and how I kind of ensure commitment on both sides. Okay. So let's just say I went through this with a guy named John and I'm like, John, awesome chat today. I appreciate your time on this. I learned a lot about you and hopefully you got some of your questions answered as well. Based on everything we've discussed today, I actually do think this is very much worth our time to set up an actual part interview to get to know you a lot better and see if this actually would be a fit to work with us. On your end, just on what you know so far, like, is this something you would actually like to do? So I'm checking with them. I don't want to like sell them into coming and have them just no show me. Like, let me know, like, is this something you actually would like to do? Cool. Awesome. So next steps is I'd like you to grab a pen and paper because I've got it, or, you know, something on your phone on your notes, but I want to go through a few just logistical things with you and make sure we both got a really well set up plan for this interview. So first off, I've got time on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I've got space at 9, 11, 1, and 4. What time works best for you? Because I want to make sure this is something that you're not late for and you can come prepared for. Cool. 4 o'clock on Thursday. Sounds good. So write that down. I'm going to meet you at the office. This is our office address. So 123 Fake Street, whatever the address is. And I want to give you a bit of homework too, because as much as this interview is going to be about me understanding you and whether or not you should work with us, I also want you to take some time to get to know us and make sure this is the right fit for you. This is a two-way street, right? You're going to work here for 40 hours a week. I want to make sure this is like your stove to be here. So check out our website, check out our socials, look into us a bit and come with 3 to 5 questions of things that you would like to know more about. And I'll start the interview even with those questions. So come prepared and let's dive into those a little bit. I think it's really important. This is kind of like a two-way thing. That sound fair? Okay, cool. Other than that, John, anything else on your end that you have questions around? You're good? I actually have one other thing. Actually, I'll have you write down here. I want you to write down my phone number. It's whatever, 123 phone number. The reason being, I've got a pretty packed day that day. I'm going to be meeting with lots of different people. And I get it. Life happens. Maybe you can't find the address or something shifts for you. I would just love a heads up. It would just save me a ton of time. I'm sure it'll save you a ton of time. And I don't want any complications between now and then. Is that fair? Just to respect both of our time? Cool. Give me a call if you need me. If you have questions between now and then too, happy to pick up the phone and answer them. Fair? Cool. All right, man. Well, I look forward to seeing you Thursday at 4 o'clock. Let's rock and roll. So bring some questions with you and stoked to see where things go. Anything you pick up on step 8, and remember, that's just step 8. There's 8 steps here. But what is it about what I've done there that you think would help ensure a higher level of show up happening? Right? What are some of the things you identify? Can we have that script? Well, it'll be on the recording. It'll be on the replay. So, and I'm sure AI can take it off from everything I've just said. But it's thorough. It's caring. I'm teaming up with them more than like domineering them. I'm showing their best interest and my best interest. I'm giving them some homework, which is interesting because I'm keeping them aware of us and thinking about us between now and that next interview, right? I'm providing lots of direction and clarity and making sure it's written down because sometimes people just forget to, and then they panic and they're like, I just want to go, right? I'm removing as many barriers as I can and making sure we have the best humans showing up for these awesome interviews that we're going to do. Okay. So again, for time, I'm going to move forward, but this is a tool that we have. You will get it. And it'll give you the script on this. I'll show it to you real quick. Over here. Yeah, this is kind of what it looks like. It's got a full walkthrough. It's got hints from our coaches and step-by-step process on how to build this and an example file. And then it's not in here, but a template that you can build your own as well. So this should give you a lot of direction on how to do this well. Okay. Okay. Where are we at now? We finally are at the interview process. So we've got an ideal candidate profile. We've built out our ad sets. We've generated some flow. We pre-screened people and made sure they're the right fit for us and we're the right fit for them to at least invest some time into. Finally, we can get to this place where we can actually interview these people, right? So I'm going to start with this first concept of personality over skill. And I feel like hopefully all of us at this point know this. How many of you agree with this concept? And you can disagree with me too, it's fine. How many of you agree that interviewing for personality is much more important than interviewing for skill? Think about that. Yeah. The reason being is we are in the industry where a lot of the skill of doing the job, and that's not true for every part of your business, but like for a lot of the things that you guys do, you can train someone. And we kind of need to train someone because there's a lot of people retiring right now. We need to be the skill gap, but you can't change the way people are, right? So some of these that are in here, tenacity, this is like their preference to work hard. The preference ability to set and hit goals. Problem solving is their natural ability to see problems in a positive light and like to solve them. Precision is the preference to deliver error-free work. values are your company values, right? Instrumental is the ability to be presentable. They're in front of your customer. Like, what do people think? Leadership is the natural ability and skill developed of leading others. Fundamental, this is an interesting one. I'll get into this one in a second, but it's the natural ability to handle stress in pursuit of a goal. This one was huge when hiring managers. We'll talk about this in a sec. Introspection, which is the ability to objectively see yourself and others. Again, working through arguments and conflict and also being open to learning. It's a big part of this. And then there's still skill sets in here because some jobs you need people with a certain amount of skill, right? So here's my question. What are the top four traits? If you could only pick four, because you try and interview someone on all these things, you're looking for a needle in a haystack, but you're looking for a production manager. What four would you pick? What do you think? What four matter the most for a production manager on your team? What do you think? What do you think? I'll give you the answer in a second. So problem solving. Okay, good. So let's see what else. Problem solving, tenacity, problem solving values, leadership skill sets, values, problem solving. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's see. So problem solving, values, leadership, and fundamental, right? So a lot of you put problem solving for obvious reasons. They're going to be doing a lot of things every day. They don't need to be calling you. Values kind of goes with the territory. Leadership, they're going to be leading people. Fundamental. Have you ever had somebody that you've hired in a leadership role or a project management role that's just gone MIA on you when you need them the most? Ever had this? This is massive, right? And what I've noticed is when people are under high stress situations, even though they're great humans and they're very well experienced, how do they work under pressure? This could be a big miss, right? So when you're interviewing people, you want to make sure like your questions are preloaded, you're pre-thought through the traits, and then you can actually have a questioning sequence that helps you identify past performance in people to predict future behavior. So you're not asking these like leading the witness questions because you're kind of not prepared, right? So on the story of fundamental, it's like, do you handle stress well? Yes, perfect, right? Like, of course they're gonna lie to you. Like, there's no context. You don't even know what that means. Versus like, tell me about the most stressful work situation you've ever been through. What made it so stressful? How did this process, or how did you process through this? What did you learn from the situation? Or we're getting down to the stories so we can deduce whether or not that's a valid example or not. And it's much harder to lie to us because we're adding into the details, right? We're going from like, I always think of like a stick person in my brain. I'm like, no assumptions, just stick person, white background. And then I'm asking questions to create an HD picture of what these situations look like. And I'm telling you from years of doing this and the 2,400 interviews I've done, you can't change people. So if they don't fit the criteria or they don't have examples that fit or the examples aren't quite right, I'm telling you, take off the rose colored glasses. Like, these are your cues that like, it's not going to be a fit. Okay. So the hiring templates that we're going to give you are super robust. It's a 24-page document that walks you through how to build this. And it also gives you of those 10 traits, every single trait with a walkthrough of questioning sequences on how to break this down to really get to the meat and potatoes of all this stuff. Okay. This is a skill. This is something that even though I give this to you, it'll take you a couple of years to really hone in. But by using a standardized way of interviewing, you can start to get better at it, improve over time. So quick tips, personality over skill, right? Probing questions, that sequencing to get into open-ended questions and getting right to the root or the stories. So we've done a lot. Let's kind of bring this in for a landing, right? What have we talked about? We've talked about the ideal candidate profile, how that dictates and influences the job posting. How that dictates and influences the kind of applicants that apply for us. How we then do really good setup calls to have better show up rates with the right people and screen out the wrong so that we can take a lot of time. Like, these are hour and a half long interviews with the right people. And we can build our interview questioning sequence around the role specific personality traits that we're looking for. And finally, make a good selection, right? And the selection is not made based on who was the best person that showed up. It's based on who fits the ideal candidate profile that we drew up at the beginning of our process. To get away from bias, you need to, at the end of the day, pick who you like and then go sit down and read your ideal candidate profile and how far on or off the mark did you actually hit. And if the answer is this person still doesn't hit the mark, the reality is you got to get back out there. Because hopefully you agree with this, you've felt this before, but no hire is much worse than a bad hire, right? So I'd rather have, no one for this week. Unfortunately, I know it's my $3,500 in revenue, but if I hire the wrong person, that impact is tenfold. Okay. So recap, hiring fundamentals, right? Ideal candidate profile, effective job postings, interview setup calls, behavioral interviewing. We're going to give you stuff on all of this. This and so much more is what starts to happen. So this is Brandon Comstock. He's a really good friend of mine, actually. He's been working in BTA since 2018. Just got back on a vacation with him and his wife, actually. Phenomenal human. And he's been working on stuff like this. But like, this is what happens. His net profit was sitting at 5%. And we brought him up to 16. And then we increased his team from 14 to 50. Like, normally when you bring more people in, things get worse. Like, we increased profitability. We increased the effectiveness of the overall team because it was the right people driving the organization. Put a lot of tools in place. So he barely had a CRM at the time, but Elements fully in place now. HubSpot issue ID is actually something he created himself. Really neat. Bamboo HR, user pilot. These things make a difference, right? We can't just like do things by working harder. We have to work smarter. The classic cliche, but it's true, right? So here's my question for you guys. And I'm going to give you the templates here soon. So just stay put. I'll get them to you. What did you guys take from this? There's so many things that I think we could do better. I would love to know what is the one thing that you would kind of commit to out of this where you're like, you know what? We're heading into hiring season, but here's one thing that I think would shift us in the right direction that is low hanging fruit for us or would be the right thing for us. So much. Setup calls, Amanda, amazing, right? I fully agree. That was a huge thing for me. I'm trying to read them before they go. Slow down on interviews. Yeah, dude, once you get these templates, you'll see them. Like, they will force you to be thorough. And it's so interesting too, because like to attract high level candidates, you have to have a good process. And that's actually what sells them more than any like features or benefits you could offer them. It's the process itself where they're like, this was really well done. I can only imagine what it's like to actually work for you, right? Interview setup calls, cool. There's so much there. Then obviously our background. So we implement, like I said earlier, the contractor growth method. And this is the thing that kind of connects all these bits together. Oops, I'm ahead of myself. Essentially, what we're trying to do is we're trying to build something that runs the organization a little bit more like a machine. Because I find most owners are kind of doing it themselves and everything's kind of built out of duct tape and bailing twine. And every Tuesday, you got to kick the TV to keep it moving. And it's a very manual, you built process. We need to take what's in your head, which most of our owners kind of know where they want it to go and what need it to look like, but they haven't taken the time. And honestly, some of us just don't have the implementer ability to fully detail and dial in the systems. We've kind of done it for you. So we built the entire financial control process, the defined roles that you need, the hiring systems that you need, the training and onboarding that you need, the sales and marketing processes you need, how to set goals. And we put it all together to be a program that you can actually like build into the business relatively simply. And the cool thing is we built it specifically for landscaping now too. So we've got like templates and resources and everything that's like 80% done. So you can put your touches on it and make it your own. The basic way I could explain this is we're building through your sales, production, and financial metrics, a dashboard. We're then using that dashboard to measure goal versus actuals. We're then putting those goals into people's employment agreements. So we're actually defining like who does what and who delivers on what. And we're building an entire organizational structure where everybody has a deliverable or a number to go achieve. We're then helping that employment agreement we built to dictate our ideal candidate profile to build our entire hiring systems that we talked about today. We're then using that same profile to know what kind of training and onboarding we need. So if we need someone with less experience or more experience, we're matching that with the amount of training and onboarding processes required. And we're making sure that everything that's in our training is written in our employment agreement. Because if I'm going to hold you accountable to doing something, I better have a way of showing you as well. Then need to optimize sales and marketing to make sure we've got like basically predictable revenue to sustain the business we're organizing and growing. And all of that is wrapped up into a strategic plan where we know exactly what the numbers we're trying to achieve, both in 3 years, 1 year, and quarterly, and the initiatives or the blocks we need to implement, the processes we need to implement to get there. So this is what we currently do. We have a lot going on. We have about $2 billion under management. That's not our revenue. That's all of our members. We see about a 25% increase in revenue in the first 12 months of working with us, which I think is kind of the market. I don't think that's been just us. But here's what's really neat. 69% net profit increase per member on average in their first 12 months. The average is about $168,000 more made per company. It's massive because there's all these 1% in inefficiencies that happen along the way. So we do this through three things. We've got pre-built content for you. So we've got an entire library where all your standard operating procedures are built, all your checklists are built, your employment agreements are built, your job ads are built, your like all the things that we teach, we give an 80% complete version of so that you can build off of it and start to get going. We establish you with a coach who can hold you accountable, help set goals with you, and break down any questions you have around the plan as we build the strategic plan and navigate the year. So we actually have numbers we're trying to achieve and processes and people we're trying to hire, and they're there with you working through this to actually get you to year end. And then we have a really sick community. There's about 1,000 people, just over 600 businesses that are all in Breakthrough Academy. We work together, we share, we collaborate, we innovate together. And it's a very powerful force to have a lot of people with a similar method, like management methodology, helping each other and developing off this stuff. So for today, I'm going to give you two things to do. One, and there should be a little link coming up. One is to connect with us. And this isn't for everyone, but this is for those of you who you're at a state in business right now where you're like, we are working on all of this stuff and we're kind of just going it alone and we need some help. There's no point in doing it alone. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like, we have done this so many times over. We should probably chat. So very similar to our interview process I just took you through, the first step is to set up for what's called a strategy session. It'll be about 20 minutes to a half an hour long. We're going to flip the script. So we're not going to talk so much. We're going to listen to you. We're going to write down a lot of notes and start to understand what's really going on and what some of the root issues are. If it's good for us to move forward, we put you through to a business assessment. This is all free to do, but we're there to see if we can actually help you, basically. And if we can, awesome. If we can't, no worries. I will say, if you're in startup modes, you're under 500,000 or you're quite large, like you're over 20 million, we're probably not the right fit for you. But if you're in this kind of like, our sweet spot is like 1 to 5 million range. But if you're a little outside of that too, that's totally fine. And you're working on this stuff and you're trying to figure out how to like really scale up, but do it through like proper systems, we should chat. So make sure you sign up for that. And then also in that same link, there's a click here to basically get all the templates we talked about today. So your ideal candidate profile template, your job posting examples, your setup call guide, behavioral interviewing tools, totally free. So how you do this, there should be a link in the chat, and there's, yeah, Aaron just put a link up here. It's this Breakthrough Academy book a call plus free tool. Click on that blue button. There it goes again. And it'll take you through a quick form, asking a bit about who you are. And there's two buttons to press. So there's like, yes, we would like to talk to Breakthrough Academy at some point. And we're very open. So you can schedule a time with us. We'd be very curious just to chat with you at first. Like I said, this is kind of an interview process where we're going to take you through, but we want to make sure it's a good fit. And then there's also one for Greenius. If you're kind of like, man, I could really use some like out of the box training tools and onboarding processes for my people that I'm about to hire, check them out as well. And that gives you a chance to connect with them as well. So it's relatively simple. For us, we're not looking for everybody. We only have so much space each year of members we can take in. But again, it's so similar to what you guys are doing. The right fit, we will have a great time together. And if it's the wrong fit, that's okay. We'll get to know you a bit. If it's maybe a year or two down the road, we should work together. Fine. If it's never at all good. We've got a really cool podcast we'll put you in touch with. And actually, I'll show it to you. Contract Revolution. You can start to get some free content every week from us. And if nothing else, for all of you, whether you're interested in chatting with us or not, start to use some of this stuff. I saw a lot of you said the setup call guide is something you're going to use. Take some time on this. It's a very fun process to think through what goes wrong in interviews and then realize you could probably negate 50 to 70% of it if you just ask the questions up front in the calls. For me, that was one of the biggest things that shifted my show up rates and also just the quality of people that showed up, because you'll see the interview tool that we send you. It's a behemoth. Like, it's not something you just want to go in lightly with. Like, you got to pick four traits, and I spend 20 minutes per trait just interviewing on that one trait for a person. So if I've got four traits, I'm sitting at like almost an hour and a half of an interview. And I do not want to be setting up interviews with people that are not worth my time and are not going to show up. I don't have time for it anymore because I'm investing in the right people. Okay. All right. We're at 12:01. If you haven't yet, click on the link, get your stuff. I'm going to stick around too, just so everybody knows, for questions. So if you've got some extra time, I've got some extra time, we'll keep chatting. But if you haven't got these templates yet, make sure you get them. If you want to chat with us, make sure you put down that you do. Depending on the information you put in, you'll may be able to schedule a one-on-one with us, which is that free strategy session. You may not, depending on, again, we have some parameters. It's kind of like our pre-screening process, but if you do, set up a time with us. It's probably going to be a guy named Paul Page that you're going to talk to. I know him very well. He was an ex-member with Breakthrough Academy, really good human, works with us now. And yeah, he'll take a lot of time just to listen to you and see what's really going on. And we see, like, as you can probably imagine, we see a lot of patterns of what everybody's going through. And if nothing else, give you some good insight and some things to focus on. So that'll be good. And if you want the templates, grab them, use them. Like I asked that question earlier, how many build an ideal candidate profile? There is an exponentially larger amount of people that now do this, because for 10 years, I've been like, please use it. And it seems like it's actually starting to happen, which is really cool. It's setting people up for success. So good. Okay. So let me focus here on some of the questions that are coming in. Let me go. How do I get here into the moderator questions? So if there's questions, put them into the chat. I've got someone on my team kind of like copying them and pasting them into a different section for me to look at them. But let me go through some of your guys' questions now and let's see what you guys have. So Sterling Brooks, how do you find people who are okay with seasonal work? We get great people who don't come back after the off season. So Sterling, you have to think again, this goes back to the ideal candidate profile, but like, what kinds of people want seasonal work? And actually in the chat, can we do this in the chat? This is a really cool place to source this. Of those of you who hire for seasonal work, which is probably a lot of you, what types of people who have a certain kind of lifestyle, there we go, there's one, really enjoy seasonal work? Because I think there's probably more ideas in the chat than I can give you. But yeah, college kids is the one I always used to hire for, right? But there are many types of people with different lifestyles that really love seasonal work. People who travel during the winter, students, 100%. Stacy, thank you for that. What else? Teachers, yeah. 100%. My sister's a teacher, actually. She's off all summer every year. People who enjoy their off-season time. Yeah, we have lifestyle costs. Yeah. Coming in. Desperate people. I know. Folks who have alternative off-season jobs. Snowboarders, skiers. Yes, I've seen that a lot before, too, actually. There's people who travel to Canada, specifically, or to the United States. Just for a season, because they want to come check it out and they want to work here, but they've got tons of experience in the country they're from, aka a lot of Australians. Snowplow has to move to landscaping. Retirees, cool. Yeah, there's you have to think through your team ultimately, and who are the people that have worked best with you seasonally and come back year over year over year, and what is it about their lifestyle that makes that such a good puzzle piece fit for them, right? And there are lots of people in different scenarios. We've got a few in the chat, which is really good, but it's not about hiring someone who needs to work full time and needs a paycheck to pay their mortgage, because the reality is they're probably not going to be able to with you, and they're going to be under a constant state of stress knowing that the season ends and they're out of work. It's people that probably have a little less responsibility, probably a little more lifestyle focused, love the outdoors, enjoy doing this type of work, but also want the freedom and autonomy to run off in the winter and do cool things and have other hobbies or life interests or things going on that allow them that, right? So that is a good question. What else do we got here? Do you always pass on an interviewee that you simply have a bad feeling about, even if you cannot put your finger on the exact reason why? That's a really good question. So that was from Tess Mitchell. Thank you for that question. So let me start with this. What you're talking about is using your gut. I think this is just my way of being. I don't know that I'm right. I think that interviewing is 50% all the stuff we just talked about today and 50% your gut. So if I'm doing an interview with somebody, or if I'm doing a pre-screening call, say with somebody, and all the data is pointing that this person is a really good fit, but my gut's telling me no, I have a decision to make because I've got conflicting data. Sometimes I can't even give you a full answer. It's like often if I'm busy and I don't have much space, I'm not setting them up. I'll tell you the truth. If I'm like not super busy and I have lots of space, I'll probably still set them up because the data says they're amazing. But if my gut's telling me no and the data's kind of weak, even if it's like okay, but it's kind of weak, I'm definitely not setting them up, right? It's when the two marry that you're like, bingo, we've got something. And that's usually like where you're going to want to put the most time and resources anyways, is like, I've got my gut and I've got my data. And between those two, if they both point to yes, I know I'm heading in the right direction. And this is true in all elements of business. Like I'm a bit of a visionary. So like I have my gut in so many things, but I also have to back it up with data. And when those two things marry, we've got a winner. When those things are conflicting, one saying yes, one saying no, my optimistic side still wants me to still push forward, but the realistic side is that it's probably there's something up. So That's what I would say to that. Yeah, never 100% gut, and also never 100% data. Like, sometimes there's things where the data is just not quite showing what you're looking for, but your gut is like, there's something here. That doesn't mean you ignore the data. It means you need to go deeper and look, because you probably missed something. That kind of makes sense. Okay. Any other questions, Aaron? We got Snazna is on icon. I'm going to butcher your name. I'm sorry. Snazna iconic. Sorry, I'm dyslexic too, so I'm going to blame it on that. How do you handle situations where you've gotten to the offer letter step with a candidate, but they are now becoming unresponsive? Oh, I know this feeling. This is like that weird dating feeling when you're like, should I follow up again? Should I not? I don't want to be too controlling, and I don't want them to say no to me. let me think about this, because there's, yeah. So I've gotten to the offer letter and now they're unresponsive. The reality is you can't control people. They're either going to work with you or they're not, right? And they're either going to come in and they're going to work for 40 hours a week and they're going to have a year, maybe 5 years working with you. And if during the early stages, there's something that's made them unresponsive, I try not to be too pushy, but I will send one or two texts. And usually they're texts that end in a question. And I'll just learn this from years of sales experience. Texts that end in a question demand a response more than texts that just like, you know, how you doing, right? So I might say something to that candidate and say, you know, hey, since our last chat, I wanted to check in and see if this is something you were still interested in, ? Hey, I wanted to see if the offer in the offer letter, if you had any questions on it, love to chat quick, let me know, ? It's literally the ? At the end that demands a bit more of a response. You don't need to be alarmist. I'm always a big proponent of just being very real too. Like, I'm not going to like dance around the issue. Like, if I'm like, hey, like, you know, since the offer letter, was there anything more you needed where you're still wanting to look at this job? ? Right. To be fairly straightforward. And just to know that, like, you can't control people. So you may have loved them, but something's up, and there might be nothing up. Maybe they just were away for the weekend and their phone was off. But you can't push too hard. You have to let people come to you. Right. Whenever I think about recruiting, it's like, I'm not here to grab you and pull you and force you in. And I'm also not here to do any kind of like weird tactics to convince you to be here. I'm here to do my best job to interview you, screen you, make sure that we have a good like dynamic while we do this. So we get to know each other. You get your questions answered. You're about to commit 40 hours a week of your life to me. Like, I better be ready to do that. And I'm about to commit, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to you and your career. I'd be ready for that. We're on the same team. Like, let's take the time to do that. And I found in general in interviews, like, I'm not the domineering type. Like, I'm not there to like make you feel little. I'm there to work with you, and I'm there to be the professional, and I'm there to lead the way. And I'm there to make sure for the both of us that we have our best interests in mind, that we get a good fit. So I'll give you this thought too, actually. I don't actually teach this because I don't recommend it unless you've got like a couple years of reps under you using that interview template I showed you. But you know what I do that sells people the most into wanting to work with me? I slow down at the end of the interview and I go through all the preferences and abilities that I've identified with that person. And I put my books down and I just say, hey, John, like, awesome chat. There's some things in here that I really like, I think would be massive strengths for the role we're looking at here. And there's some things here that I would really have to work on you with in order for you to kind of be, you know, whatever, to be able to make this happen. And I give them real raw feedback. Now, the reason I don't teach this and the reason I don't recommend this to anyone is if you don't have the reps to know that you're right and you give the wrong feedback, it has the opposite effect. But when you can nail it and you know, going through tenacity or going through fundamental or attainment or any of these preferences we just talked about, and you've got specific life examples to point to, it's the first chance to kind of be in a coaching relationship with them. And what I've heard most candidates say that are usually really good candidates is like, man, if you've learned that much about me in the last hour and a half, I can only imagine what it's like working for you. And I've always sold people on the fact that, like, I call it the prove it process, that it's real, that we're actually doing some productive work right now than just the promise of more pay or better times or cool barbecues or working outside. I've always been very practical and just being like, let me just prove this for a second, because we spent an hour and a half together and like, let's talk about whether or not this is a fit. Here's some things you do really well. Here's some things I think you need some work on. What are your thoughts on all of this? Right? The good candidates are drawn into that. The bad candidates hate it because they're just like, you don't know me. You don't. And they back off, right? And they're kind of They don't want feedback. That's actually a sign of introspection. But you can really mess this up if you're wrong. If you give feedback and you're a little off on your mark, they'll lose trust. So user be warned, don't probably use that as a strategy, but that is one way that I sell in a very like real way, I guess is the way to put it. From a few people, do you work with non-landscapers? So remodelers and electrical? Yes, that's a great question. So painting, sub-trades, so electrical, plumbing, drywall, things of that sort, HVAC, roofing, contractors too. So we have a whole contractor sector to what we do. Landscaping, did I say painting already? Am I said painting? And then services too. So like, well, landscape maintenance, junk removal, window cleaning. So we have different kind of sectors or lines and process templates for each kind of like sector. And yes, so we work with people outside of that, but it's all, everyone's within the contracting space, if you know what I mean. Contracting and home services, that kind of makes sense. So we do not work with dog walkers, and we do not work with accounting firms, and we do not work with, you know, the white collar trades or the white collar world who work with the trades. So there it is. Painting, landscaping, construction, builders, roofers, electrical, plumbing, services. Perfect. Thank you guys. Cool. What else do we have for questions here? Jason Charter. Do you have your virtual assistant do any of this process? So I don't know if I'd have a personal assistant per se. Virtual assistant. I don't know if I'd have a virtual assistant do a lot of this. Maybe screening and sorting of resumes, potentially. If I'm doing this with somebody, it's somebody that's on the team that works with me closely, that knows us and the company and the culture well, has been a part of the hiring process in depth with me, because there are just things that after years of reading resumes that I pick up on, there are things that in doing pre-screening calls that I just know how to speak through. And I'm happy to like bring someone in that can do that for me. Like I certainly do not need to keep doing that long-term, but I need to be pretty close with them. So like a virtual assistant, probably not the right fit for that type of work. Maybe if there's some administrative stuff on the back end, but generally for a lot of this relationship stuff and skill spotting and being able to really see through the funnel of what's going on, I'll be training somebody pretty closely to me that's in the process with me doing it for 3 months, 4 months, and so till they're starting to pick up the same habits and things that I bring in. So I'll be forwarding the resources to the more important guys. Thank you for this. Yeah, no worries, Scott. Happy to help. Stacy, when and how can we access the recording? Aaron, you can. Aaron is Breakthrough Academy. Just so you know, it's like Aaron Scheel. I'll come in about an hour or two. Perfect. Okay, do we have any other questions here? Let's see. DT, we had a great candidate, but then the background check raised some red flags, fraud and more. Do you proceed and work through issues? No. Look, you guys all know this concept of like rose-colored glasses, which is like you're putting on a shade where you're like, if I just kind of squint, like I could make it work. I mean, here's the thing. I might have interviewed somebody, and if they had brought it up to me and it's something that they've like been through in their life and it was 10 years ago and I went through the exact experience of what happened and why, and I felt comfortable understanding that this is way in the past of who this person was, maybe. But if I'm self-discovering this and it was not brought up and it's something that I now have to contend with, reality is I'm probably dealing with somebody, 95% likelihood I'm dealing with somebody that's going to cause some level of fraud or abuse in my company. And the facts speak there, right? So we do have to be a little bit more like conscious to the decisions we make, because the impact they have are huge. The simple concept is like, no hire is much better than a bad hire. And it's a hard decision to make when you really need to fill somebody into that role. But there's, you know, there's over a couple hundred people in this chat still. I would love to throw it out to you, all of you, for that one question. But like when you've got somebody that you know at deep down, like we don't really have a values fit here, but we've got some work we need to get them to do. Net, net, when you look back, would you do that again? So you're like short term, you're trying to solve an issue. You kind of know it's not really going to work. You're hoping it will, though, because that project really needs to get done. Yeah, here we go. They're all coming in, right? So I think like we have to have the discipline to be able to go through short-term pain for long-term gain. It's again, these little sayings, but they're true. And it takes here's the consequences. Yeah, but those are short-term, right? The long-term stuff is going to destroy the organization. The good people that work for you might leave. The customers that loved you are now not going to love you. The brand gets tarnished. The reviews online come in. The stress that keeps you up late at night. It's not worth it. The bigger picture will always trump the small short-term stuff. Okay. Any more questions? What is your take on, what is my take on H2B, temporary workers, and no interview for them? I think at some level you need to do an interview with people, even if they're coming in, even if they're at some level. I guess what you're saying is these people are kind of like pre-hired to kind of come into your organization. There is also a level of expectation setting that matters, right? If you just like, hey, come on in, enter our ecosystem, and there's been no sit down to go through, you know, what we do, how we do it, what's important to us, and not just like to make sure that they understand. Chime in here if Danny misunderstands your question. Yeah, feel free to chime in if I misunderstand the question. But I'm assuming is you've got somebody kind of feeding your company with temporary workers, and they're kind of like, here, we're going to give them to you. You don't really have a choice. These are the ones we've chosen for you. I would still have a pre-screening meeting with them and just make sure your like expectations are set extremely well, and you understand a bit about them, what's important to them, what they're looking for. You get to go over kind of like what you guys are all about, where you see, you know, what's important for the company, what's important for the role, what the expectations of like their day-to-day work looks like, what the core values of the company are. And yeah, if you see a big red flag in that first little pre-screening meeting, then I mean, I don't know how it works for that process with them, but I would be like, we can't take someone on that's not going to work. So it seems a little bit wild to just say, sure, we signed agreement saying, well, you can send us people, we'll take on people, because that can really test and damage the actual overall culture of the rest of the company if you're not careful. Yeah. Our legacy employees recommend new employees. That's great. That's amazing. So yeah, but they go through the same process, right? They don't get special treatment. The only thing I will say, when your people refer you at a person applying, you want to make sure that like, if you're not going to go forward with that person, you call the person that made that referral and respect them and their time they put in. So say, hey, John, like, I know you referred Sally, and actually we decided not to go ahead with it, but I wanted to give you a heads up that we didn't, and we think it's the right fit for her to move into something different, but we did take some time and appreciate the referral. And so that's the only step that I do different. Otherwise I'd keep it the same. H2B staffing, make sure the broker has a recruiter in country to screen applicants. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Check moderator. Okay. Rodney Chappell. Or C leader. We contract for larger companies and do not have a website, online presence. Is it necessary to hire appropriately? I mean, the answer is yes. It'll always help you. I understand what you're saying. Like, you basically have much larger organizations that are feeding you all your work. At some level, you know what actually might be not a bad idea is to set up a landing page. Set up a landing page specifically for recruiting, that when you post your ads, you have a link or somewhere for people to go. That's not going to hurt. So best practice is always going to be have more information and more collateral out there looking for your ideal candidate. And maybe it's a very purpose-built, simple landing page. You can build them on Squarespace and stuff like that that are simple, but it's at least leading to, hey, this is what our employer brand is all about, if you'd like. Rodney Chappell, people say interviews should be 15 to 20 minutes. Oh, no. If you need more time, ask for another interview. If you need more time, ask for another interview. I seem to take an hour or so. If they seem like a good prospect, is that correct? Yes, Rodney, that is 100% correct. I do not agree with anybody saying take 15 to 20 minutes. It to me seems like insanity to speed date somebody for 20 minutes and then make a decision to their salary or their cost to the business, and for them to make a decision to their life, where they're going to spend more time in that business than they likely will with their family in 20 minutes. Like, that just seems a little bit psychotic. And I understand that like, we're in a busy world these days where we all are going to make fast decisions and move forward. But like, I don't know, like, not in recruiting. It's just, it's the wrong place. Your entire business is comprised of your people. It is your biggest asset. We all need to invest more time in this, not less, right? Yeah, there's a good point there. Hire slow, fire fast. Jason says, I think my interviews are too short. Yeah, fair enough. I usually do interviews for about an hour and a half. It's kind of my timeline. And it gives me a little bit of slush. Should I need to go over? Lets me get into things in like a thorough way and build a bit of a relationship with the person along the way. So. All right. I think my interviews are, yeah. Okay, cool. All right. I'm not sure if we have more questions. You can keep them coming in. For those of you who haven't got your resources, haven't got your stuff, make sure you do. Aaron, I don't know if you want to post it up one more time for those who maybe missed it or just been busy asking me questions the whole time. You can put it up for everyone. There you go. And let's see if we get any other ones while you guys are finishing off here. This was great. Thanks. See you later. You're very welcome. Yeah, I had a lot of fun too. This is a fun topic for me. It's something I've spent a lot of years doing and refining, and there's a lot of us on today. So hopefully this made a lot of impact, which is kind of a cool way to spend a morning. Jess Batch. You're very welcome, Jess. No problem, no worries at all. The recording should come in the next hour or two, just so you guys know. Yeah, it looks like it's mostly just around that. So cool. So I'll close this out. If you haven't yet, get your templates. If you want to chat with us, make sure you do. We are looking for a fit in this, just like you will be looking for a fit in this. And like I said, this is a very similar process. If you want to look at Breakthrough Academy, we kind of put you through a bit of an interview process because we want to work with the right people. So make sure you let us know, though, that you want to chat. If not, get your resources, play around with them. Pick, I would say, one of them, like I said earlier, that you can really implement and rally around with your team and make some change. For Greenius or LMN, if you're not with them yet, check them out. These guys are amazing tools. For our recruiting organizations, Contractor Staffing Source and HireBus, make sure you check those boys out. Well worth their weight in money and gold. So I hope this helped you all. This gave you something to think about, if nothing else. And happy hiring. Let's go rock and roll. Let's have a good season. Let's find our people. Let's go do some damage. Let's go do some work. The sun is arriving. So the season is getting ready. I live in British Columbia, Canada. So the growing season is 3 weeks, 4 weeks away. I got to see my lawn soon. So wish me luck. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.